first, not last. It's not surpassed.
We are growing up.
The Bub Podcast. Not outclassed. Wonders en masse.
We are growing up.
The Bub Podcast.
There's the ball. Captain to controls. There's the shot. The shot in Crawley's goal.
Yes!
Three more strikes. And it's promotion. Outside the hotel. What a commotion!
First, not last. It's not surpassed.
We are growing up.
The Bub Podcast. Not outclassed. Wonders en masse.
We are growing up.
The Bub Podcast.
My name's Mark Isles, I'm the chief football writer of the Bolton News, covering the Crawley beating, edge of seating, hotel meeting, Bolton Wanderers. League One football is secure. We're going to Hillsborough, we're going to the New York Stadium, the Valley, Portman Road, JJB, whatever it's called now. The best thing is, you lot might be coming with us as well. Fingers crossed, fans will be back in the building very, very soon. This is a special end of season pod. If you caught our promotion special at the start of the week on Monday, you'll know we gave out our annual awards then, and we analysed the Crawley game to bits and pieces. This time, we're going to do a player-by-player account, deciding who's been a hit, who's been a miss, and who has been a maybe. And when I say we, I do, of course, mean me and my podcast co-host. Some people say he is soulmates with John Yems. It's Henry Hewitt.
Well, whenever Bolton lose, the mood I'm in, maybe my missus would agree with you there, but no, I can't agree with you. I'm cloud nine still. I'm happy, and you won't get any expletives coming from my mouth today.
Which cloud do you think John Yems exists on?
Ooh, if cloud nine is super happy, he's probably on a cloud 2.5.
Yeah, with like Morrissey and the Smiths below him. That's it. It's all sweetness and light. We've got I've got a lot of work on at the moment, if I'm being brutally honest. We're recording this a little bit early because I've got a big motion supplement to write, which is out on Monday in Bolton News. So make sure you... I know everybody rushed out and got their copy on Monday thinking that was the copy to have. Well, guess what? You might have to go and get another one now because we're doing a very special, all fresh interviews. I've got a list going here to my left of people that have said they'd definitely speak to me, and some good stuff coming up your way. But before that, Henry, do you fancy a bit of reader correspondence?
Oh, yeah, we're going in early this time. Yeah, let's do it.
I think the time for chit-chat is over. This is me on a roll, this is.
Yeah, it's going to be a 10-minute podcast. You're that busy that we're going to cram everything into 10 minutes.
You'll have to slow it down, basically, to break up what we're actually saying. Oh, dear. This is a good email, though, and actually, it probably will lead to a couple of the chat points anyway. It's from Andy B. Dear Mark and Henry, just a word to say what a brilliant job you did on the podcast after the Crawley game. I had to read out that email. Doesn't matter what happens.
Thank you.
I haven't missed one this season, and I hope you can continue them through the summer. I think we are doing that, Henry.
That's the plan.
Nobody's told me any different. What I want to ask you both was, what was your individual highlight and low light of the season? There's been so many ups and downs, I'll bet you don't know where to start. Andy B, thank you very much for that email, Andy. Henry, I mean, I'll let you start. Your individual highlight, and don't just say promotion, because that would be a very short answer.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll cross Crawley off the list, because that was everyone's main highlight. But other than Crawley, I'm going to be honest, my highlights are between the period of January 30th to now. There's not many beforehand. It was an exciting summer last summer, wasn't it? But then it didn't quite carry on into September. Mm. I think if we're talking individual matches, I think the Mansfield one was a good one. Salford separately, because Salford, as I've said before, was when I truly believed we were going up. Mansfield kind of gave me the hope and the confidence that actually we could do a bit of a push and it could be exciting. So I'd have to go coming from 2-0 behind to beat Mansfield, just because as well, it was the third attempt at playing the match and it really wound Nigel Clough up.
Never a bad thing, is it? I mean, I agree with you. They were exciting for different ways, those two games, because the Salford game, it was relentless that second half. They were under a lot of pressure and, you know, they got that lead and they defended it well. And that was as sort of professional a performance as I think they've managed all season. The Mansfield one was just sheer, you know, it was mania, really. Once they got sort of back into the game and then forced away, it was the pitch, the fact it was under floodlights, the fact it was the third time of asking, the kind of the grumpy old Nottingham lad on the sideline that was huffing and puffing. It was, yeah, everything was there. It was a great game. I mean, I'd like to throw, I'd probably throw Harrogate into the mix. That first win just felt like monkey off the back time. Really, you know, thank God for that. I know there was lots of heartache after that, but I will say that Harrogate one did feel like an important one. But I tell you one that... It kind of sticks in my mind because we just hadn't had any football for so long. And that is, and I was the only person in there. It was Atherton Colts, would you believe? All those months ago, bright, hot sunshine. There was like a collection of Bolton Wanderers people there. Hadn't really seen anything of Ian Everett in the flesh, really. But we'd had Zoom calls with him and... I'd phone calls and texts and such like, but I'd sort of not met him face to face. I'd not seen any of the players for absolutely ages, and a lot of them were trialists at that point in time as well, don't forget. Yeah. And it was just so good to be watching. I mean, and also it was about 5 minutes up the road from where I was living at the time. But it was just so good to be watching live football again. And if that's, you know, if that's me after however many months that was, from about February to July, imagine how good it's going to be when fans come back into the building and how good that's going to be to watch live football again.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait for that. I'm glad you mentioned it, actually, because it was a highlight, that. And even though I, as well as thousands and thousands of other Bolton fans weren't there, it was so exciting. I remember where I was. I was on a walk when the match was on, and you're scrolling and you're trying to get like any sort of an update. And yeah, I know there were a lot of trialists there. Do you remember, was there any, first of all, any trialists who then we signed? But, I mean, can you say, was there any trialists that we didn't end up signing that were playing?
My memory is going blank at the moment. I will dig them up at one point in time. I do remember it being very secretive because the club, as well as myself, were told no live updates. They didn't want to attract fans at the time. And obviously, Atherton Colts, if you've ever been there, it's in the middle of a housing estate. It's obviously geared towards non-league football. It would be quite easy for people to start piling over the fences and all that sort of stuff. So they wanted to try and keep it as on the down low as humanly possible. One of the downsides to it was that I didn't get any team sheets or anything like that. So you were basically identifying people by sight. So it wasn't particularly easy. I'm trying desperately to think of some of the trialists that were on show. I'm sure there'll be people out there that are better at this sort of thing than I am. But I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's an example of how quickly we've put this podcast together. I think 20 minutes ago you messaged me going, can you do one now? And there'll be a theme throughout this podcast that we'll both be going, I don't really know. Let me get back to you on that because we've not had time to prep it.
Yeah, normally I've been better researched than this, but to be blatantly honest, I don't even know what day of the week is at the minute, let alone trying to think back to last year. But a low light, Henry, give us a low light.
Oh, I think there's a few individual games. I think outside of the actual pitch, there has not been any low lights. And I think that goes back to the fact that and I don't want to bang on about it, but we're still here, we're still a team, blah, blah, blah. So I think I've enjoyed football being back and I've enjoyed supporting Bolton and not worrying about anything off the pitch. On the pitch, low lights, Leighton Orient away was a low light, but I think my biggest low light was Forest Green at home. That first game, when we're all excited, we're all talking about the HMS that it was about to leave and the port, and we lost 1-0 and a deflected goal. It was just poor, and it was really. I think at that point when we were all thinking, right, this is the new Bolton Wanderers, we're going to walk this league, to then lose 1-0 at home to Forest Green on the first game, it kind of brought it all down to earth again.
Yeah. I mean, the low light for me was probably, I mean, it's probably a cheap one, but the Exeter game, obviously, is such a big build-up, and it could have been quite wonderful if they'd have won that game. The scenes outside would have been jubilant. It wouldn't have gone as far as it did. You know, it would have been very different. But then again, I suppose it would have taken something away from the Crawley game as well. So maybe it did work out the way it was supposed to work out. But I'm as you were talking there, I was just filling about trying to find out who actually played. I can tell you that Owen Doyle played. That was the only player they actually confirmed played in the game, you know.
Really? Yeah. Had he signed by then?
Yeah, he'd signed by then. And I'm pretty sure that Sarsvich did as well. But whether he'd signed by that point in time, I'm not sure. And I'm pretty sure that Santos and Greenwich played as well, thinking back. Because obviously, you know, two hulking lads, you weren't gonna miss them. And I remember thinking back that Tobias Phoenix was talking up how fast this player was. Liam Gordon was another one, by the way. Yes, definitely. Yeah. And he was talking up how fast this Reece Greenwich was. He was an Olympic athlete. You know, he was going to be the next big thing. He was an amazing spot. But obviously, he hadn't signed at that point in time, so we couldn't really broadcast too much about it. So, there were a few that did end up signing. I don't think Brandon Comley was there, but he might have been. Jack Hickman possible as well. It was difficult to name that side. But I tell you another low light as well. The Dennis Politic injury at Loughborough University, that was horrible. It was horrible. It was a lovely setup there. It was a terrific week for the lads that got them all together, got them prepared in some way, shape or form. But that injury, yeah, it deprived Bolton of a player that could have made a real difference this season, really, didn't it?
Yeah, it was good to see him on the pitch, though, against Crawley, celebrating, and the photos they've put out of him training as well in recent weeks. It's been nice to see, because he's like the other young lads. They're all infectious with their smiles, and we're really rooting for him. But Politic, he did it in League One last time, so hopefully he can do it again.
Yeah, definitely. I do genuinely believe he can. It's the old cliche, isn't it? It's like a new signing, but it really is a different option to something that they've got at the moment. And Dennis, I don't know quite which position in that front four is best for him, but it'll be exciting finding it out, because you know he's certainly a talented lad and Ian Everett definitely rates him. So I do think he will be in that equation next season. Just remains to be seen whether people like Dapo and Declan John join him, I suppose. The bard of Bolton Wanderers, Dennis Swift, has been in touch with one of his little ditties. And I think he's done about half a dozen for me down the years. Whenever anything important happens, you can guarantee that Dennis will be on there with a little poem. And I'm going to read it out for you. I'm no John Cooper Clarke, but I'm going to try and see if I can do it justice. We've done it. The lads have gone and done it. The whites are going up. The celebrations ran through the night as if we'd won the cup. It means so much for the fans of this club after the mess that they've been put through. The long, long road to recovery has been long overdue. But I never thought promotion would happen, nor even a playoff place. We were down near the bottom of the league and ended up in a title chase. It's been a massive team effort, and the owners should be proud. Let's hope things return to normal and the team can play to a crowd.
Oh, very good. That was nice.
Yeah, I like a bit of poetry. It brings the whole podcast up a bit. It makes it a bit more highbrow, I think, than LOV or The Wanderer. I think the fact we get a bit of music and poetry in there. We're at the South Bank show of Bolton Wanderers podcasts, I think.
Yeah, I'll take that. No one's ever said that I've never been in anything with poetry in, so it's certainly made going into this new summer, this new start that we're all having, maybe this podcast can be where I can push forward and actually finally get that Oxford degree.
Yeah, well, I think I genuinely see you as the thinking man's Daryl Morris. I really do.
I've been called a lot worse.
and by the way, actually, whilst we're on that subject, I said I was going to mention it on Monday, and I'm going to mention it now because it's just popped into my head. But, right, we get off the pitch. Ian Everett, obviously, when Sky are in town, when you don't get to speak to players and managers as fast as you normally would do, so they always go and they do the Sky stuff first, because obviously they're under they're under TV pressures and advertised breaks pressures and all that sort of stuff. So you, that's fine. You let it go. But what happened on Saturday is Ian Everett got been doused by all that champagne and then the ice water and all that. And he comes up, shakes everybody's hand. He's like, oh, fantastic. You know? And Jack says, Jack the Aiden says, oh, can you come and do us live up at the point, at the radio point? So Ian, being the obliging fella that he is, he says, yeah, yeah, okay, no problem. So wanders up and then we have to wait for him finishing. And he's sat there. He's desperate to drink this beer that's in his hand. And Jack goes, right, well, first question. And Henry, you know, if you, what would be your first question to Ian Everett, having just clinched promotion after a roller coaster season? They've come up on the rails. They've done almost an impossible job. What is your first question to Ian Everett?
Well, I would probably ask, how are you feeling, Ian? You must be happy.
That is almost exactly what was spinning through my mind. Well, Jack Dayton's first question was, have you got a message for Daryl Morris? Oh, God.
Could you write that in you? Could you nick that? Could you steal that for your paper?
I could nick that for my stand-up routine, mate. I mean, that was an Alan Partridge moment of highest proportion. But again, you know, just harking back to how obliging Ian Everett is, he actually answered the question.
He was pretty, what did he say?
I think he just said, have a bit of that or have a slice of that or something like that. And then he actually ended up having a chat with Darryl. I mean, you know, fair's fair. You know, he very rarely ducks any sort of question, however stupid. And believe me, he gets asked some stupid questions and some of them come from me. But yeah, fair play to him. After all that, I think he deserved a better first question.
I mean, if Ian is listening, those stupid questions from you normally come from me off air going, can you ask him this?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll have some more to throw at him tomorrow. I'm speaking to him on Thursday afternoon, so we should be able to throw some more stupid questions his way. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. He knows.
Would he ever be a man who swims faster than a shark? Ask him that one.
Right, okay, this sounds like a time for headlines, but really, there's only one headline in town this week, Henry, and that's that Bolton Wanderers have been promoted. So I'm going to say, as a Bolton fan, are there any questions that you'd like answering instead of headlines?
Well, I think now we've had time for promotion to settle and we look forward, which is great to do, I've got to say that. It's so nice to have a summer that we're looking at and full of hope, and we're not going to be signing 25 players. We're not going to be hearing 25 times, Bolton are a big club, it's our objective to go, which actually we joked about in the first half of the season, but they were all right in the end.
They were.
That was the aim and they got us promoted. What in terms of transfers then, what kind of are you expecting? Are you... Because I guess there's five or six names that you could probably reel off that are probably going to go. Is it going to be another case that we're bringing in 15, 20 players? Or do you think he's going to give the likes of Greenwich and Gordon a bit of a chance?
Yeah, I think it will be interesting. I'm not going to say definitely not. They're going to have no chance. But I think there's going to be a much bigger squad this season. I think they're going to have... And he's talked about having three options for each position. One development option, one backup option, and then a first team option. So I think this season might be the majority of signings. There may be quite a few signings, but I think the majority of signings will be made at that kind of younger level so that they've got a development squad. Of course, we've talked before about he wants a reserve team. However they play, whether it's going to be in a competition or not, we're waiting and seeing. It's certainly one of the questions I've got jotted down here, actually, for him tomorrow to find out, you know, what the latest plans are on that. But you're going to need players to play in that, and it can't just be the 18s. They've obviously got a collection of players like the Adam Seniors or the Harry Brockbanks or the Ronan Darcy's or whatever that haven't played as much. Matt Alexander haven't played as much this season, would have benefited from having that 23s. But then... I suppose, as far as the first team's concerned, you have to wait and see whether Declan and Dapo are going to be coming back. That will obviously shape things. He knows he needs probably I would say four quality players to add to what he's got. Maybe a couple of loans on top of that, but I would say half a dozen would be the kind of max I'd expect him to add to the group. But as you say, I'd imagine by next week, it won't happen this week, the retained list, but I think by the end of next week, we'll have a better idea of who's definitely not going to be with us.
I know it's difficult for you to say because you do have relationships with these players, but are there any players who are with us at the moment? And I'm thinking maybe the likes of Ali Crawford. You know, they're players that you feel they're going to definitely be out the door. Or is it open to anyone?
I mean, I've just been in the game too long to to rule people out like that. It's easy for the fans to do it, but honestly, you know, you see people sometimes that are out the door. You never see a way back for them at a football club, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're asking them for interviews 6 weeks down the line, and they're perfectly well again. I mean, Ryan Delaney, for example, let's use him as an example. At the start of last season, I was 100% he would be out the door. I did not think he would be a Bolton player for much longer. And yet he played a fairly big part in Bolton's season. But for a crappy red card at Tranmere, I think he probably would have seen the whole season through. He was great in the end. But it does happen. It happens less, I think, when they've been loaned out and then come back. I think Ali Crawford will probably feel that he's not going to fit into how he wants him to play. So I would imagine he will move on. But the people like Comley, Greenwich, who have got an extra year on their contracts, you know, can you see them getting back in? Probably not, but do you see them leaving? It's not an easy thing for a club just to snap their fingers and say, right, well, see you later, chaps. It's not that easy. So I'm sure they'll be trying to get back in his good books and trying to have a good pre-season. Liam Gordon's coming back as well. I know he's got an injury at the moment, but he's got youth on his side a little bit, so perhaps they can work with him and turn him into the wing back. He's got kind of the raw stuff, the pace and the sort of the trickery that is needed, the energy that's needed, but maybe just positionally he needs to improve. I think it'll be a big pre-season. I think the fact that there is a shadow squad there gives everybody that sort of backup a little bit. If they succeed with this reserve team squad thing, then I don't think there's going to be any immediate need to push everybody out the door. I think it'll be a bigger squad, though, definitely.
Now, you've done articles about Dapo and Declan, which I'll do your job for you. They're available on the Bolton News website if you want to have a look at them. So, I quite clearly, they're going to be looking at those players, the players they had on loan in January, to see if they want to stay. I know you're not Alan Nixon, so you can't just be throwing names out here and there, but do you know, are Bolton looking at players? Do you know of players that maybe you can't tell us, but do you know that they're in talks with players yet from elsewhere to come in?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Markham is one of the lads that I'm speaking to. I'm hopefully speaking to him on Friday in the supplement for the Bolton News on Monday. So there should be some stuff on the record from Chris about how things are shaping up on that front, because obviously he's been in for several months now. And, you know, his job initially was probably to get a shortlist of players that would be available with Bolton as a League Two club. And then his job changed slightly because the form picked up and he was starting, well, I'm going to have to start looking at League One options as well. And obviously, as time went on, he's now fully looking at League One options. His plan A has been chucked in the bin, I would imagine. So I expect there to be quite a lot of rumours knocking about with Bolton this summer, partly because they've had to touch base with quite a lot of players over the last couple of months of different qualities. And I think we've seen a couple already. I spotted Cole Stockton at Morecambe, for example, and Lloyd Jones at Northampton, for example. They are players that I believe they have just sussed out, you know, saw where the contract situation was. Whether that still applies because they're a League One club, I have my doubts, but we shall see. I think the shortlists, there'll be probably three different versions of that shortlist out there, and now they're working from the third one. So they need quality, and I think they're going to go for it as well. I just have this sneaking suspicion that Ian Everett knows he's on some sure footing as far as the transfers are concerned.
Very good. Then I guess that links us on to the finances and stuff. I know we've touched on it in previous episodes, but are we going to see what state the finances are in? Are they going to release the report? Have they waited until the end of the season to do that? What do you know on that?
Yeah, I don't know anything on the timings, if I'm being honest. The financial reports are obviously due out fairly soon. I think quite a few clubs are releasing theirs at the moment. I would imagine the liquidation situation with Burnden Leisure is going to be coming to a conclusion very, very soon. We all know they've got to pay back the creditors as well to get out the embargo by August. So, yes, I would imagine that we will see a fair bit of that coming through. I've said before that I'm as interested as anybody else to know what has gone in and what to what level of detail these accounts, the first set of accounts under Football Ventures, will go into. I do hope they take this opportunity to open the whole thing up and say this is exactly the situation we're in. I suspect they won't go 100%, but they'll do what they can do. Because everybody likes to know. Well, we like to know everything, don't we? Let's face it. I think especially at Bolton, because there is that. Mistrust is a bad word because it implies that they don't trust the owners at the moment. But previous owners have had that air of mystery about them if you're talking about Eddie Davis, or that air of skullduggery about them if you're talking about the other bloke. So there's obviously, you know, a section of supporters out there that want to know every single financial detail that's going on and feel that they have a right to do that as well. So I do hope they do have that slight air of openness about what they reveal and what they can tell us in those accounts. And I do hope they appear quite soon too.
Unless there's anything horrific in there, we should probably give the owners the benefit of a doubt with this one. Is it next year's you think will be the more telling one?
I mean, it will be. I mean, don't forget, we're in a pandemic as well. I think everybody's accounts to a degree are going to be affected over the next couple of years by what's gone on and how much they've had to put in. Everybody's lost money. So it is going to be difficult to make absolute judgments on how the club's been run, because obviously things have happened that are just completely beyond anybody's control. But I think some of the initial stuff, the initial investment will be interesting when they came in. How much, for example, it, you know, cost to bring in the squad last season, how much they effectively wrote off straight away to bring in all those players and the management team, Keith Hill, who, by the way, we should probably get on to, Keith Hill at Tranmere at some stage, but we'll talk about him in a minute. I think you're right. I think we do have to give them time before you can start making any huge judgments. But I think what they do this summer in the transfer market will be a big indication of what's to come, because if they back Ian Evatt with signings that are going to make a difference in League One and get Bolton playing at that top, or guarantee Bolton playing at that top end, then I think we could get pretty excited.
We'll talk about Keith Hill in a moment, but my last question was, and it links well with the Keith Hill thing, is nice hearing Ian Evatt this week say that, you know, he didn't come from Barrow for another stepping stone. He came and wants to take the club on, take us back to the Championship or the Premier League, blah, blah, blah. Is there any worry at the club that, you know, because he's got two promotions in a row now, is there any worry at the club that a club higher up the ladder is going to come in for him and we'll lose him?
I don't think so. I mean, you can't be worried about something that you've got no control over, I suppose. I don't think there's people sat there, you know, missing meals over it. But I'm of the opinion that if Ian Evatt's doing well, then Bolton Wanderers are doing well. And if a big club, a bigger club, and there are a few, but not many, but if a bigger club were to come sniffing around, the only reason they'd be doing it is because Bolton are doing well in the table. And I think, you know, my personal feelings is that I would be happy to see him, as long as it is a career progression, to move on and you know, obviously you get compensation and all that for it. I don't think people at the club are instantly worried that that's happening, nor do I think that Ian Evatt is putting it out there that he's trying to get another one. But he's a young man, he's going to have ambition, and there hopefully will be a time where that question needs to be answered. I genuinely do. I think it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing if any player at Bolton Wanderers gets an offer from a bigger club, because it means they're doing well. And that can only be a good thing. The trick is, of course, is then replacing that with something else that can do well or investing it well. And that's what Bolton definitely haven't done over the last, well, certainly the last 10 years, but possibly beyond that.
No, you're right. And Ian Everett is probably, ironically, the only one that they've took a, only manager that they've not took a gamble on, but they've invested in, it's paid off, because we've had a habit.
Since Friedman, probably. Friedman was the last one they really paid out for.
Yeah, and that didn't...
That was not a good gamble.
No. I mean, his hands were... The first season was good, but after that, I think it was a little bit of... It didn't quite work out for us with him, but also I think he was probably sold a story that weren't able to be... weren't told then in the right way.
No, I totally agree. But I think personality-wise, it just proved a bad one in the end. I think you've got to be honest. I always got on very well with him, very, very well. But I think it's fair to say that a lot of people didn't. And it caused more problems than it solved at the time. And, that you live and learn. But I agree. I think a few managers have been sold that story at Bolton. I'm just glad that it does seem that Sharon Britton and Football Ventures are on the same page as Ian Everett. You can tell that by, the way that they are around each other. You can tell... There's no secrets there. They know what they're doing.
Isn't it nice when your club is doing so well and everyone's happy and everyone's excited for the future, and then you see one of your rivals who seem to be falling apart? Tranmere sacked Keith Hill despite making the playoffs. It was a bit weird, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he got him to Wembley, though.
Yeah.
In isolation, it's not been a terrible season for Tranmere. And the thing is with Tranmere is they were in the non-league not that long ago. It's not too long since. I know they got the kind of back-to-back promotions and all that kind of thing, but where in the Football League do Tranmere believe they should be? I'm a little bit confused with that at the moment. But, yeah, funny timing. Look, Keith Hill was not popular at Tranmere. I think, he's links with Bolton didn't necessarily help him. I don't think his demeanour has necessarily helped him in the last few weeks. I listened to his interview after the Colchester draw, and there were a lot of very similar things that cropped up. And, when results are going against you, those sort of things, it's funny, and it happens with most managers in the end, but when you come in and you're very upfront, as Keith is, and very passionate, as Keith definitely is, the man loves his football, people love it. And it's like, oh, he's so honest and refreshing and all that kind of stuff. But then when the results don't go, suddenly that honesty is, oh my God, he's throwing people under the bus and all that kind of stuff. It's just a perception. With Ian Everett this season, let's be honest, he hasn't changed his tack very much between the guy at the start of the season who was being absolutely crucified to the guy at the end of it who is the best manager since sliced bread. It's all context, isn't it, I suppose? And Keith Hill, unfortunately, the performances just haven't backed up his mouth, if you will. And Keith Hill, again, I'm sad to say it, but seems to have been sacked for being Keith Hill.
I think you're right. What can you expect with Tranmere? We all have ambitions of being better off, but I think you've got to, and we have this discussion off air. We say this about Bradford. If you look at Bolton Wanderers over our history, majority of its time we've spent in the Premier League or the Championship, the first two leagues. We've obviously been in League One and then two seasons in League Two, but that's where we are. Tranmere, Bradford tend to be in the bottom two divisions,
yeah,
and that's where they've been. So, what do you expect? And I think when you look at Tranmere's team, it's an ageing team. So maybe they've not got the energy. But anyway, it doesn't matter. We're not... they might get promoted. Probably not. But we won't be the same.
I want Morecambe to come up. I think I've had a think about it. Now, I like Forest Green. I do like Forest Green. I wouldn't be terribly against them coming up. But I think I'd like to see Morecambe come up.
Don't fancy a trip to Newport again?
I do not.
And by the way, anyone listening, those questions I've just asked you, literally 5 minutes of prep, So there is probably a question out there that you're all listening to this and going, ask him about this, ask him about that. So, yeah, just, I guess, tweet Mark if you've got that question, well, and we'll answer it on a later episode.
If only we had an email address if people wanted to get in touch. So you want to bring something up on the Buff? Email Mark and Henry on thebuffmail@gmail.com. That's thebuffmail, all one word, @gmail.com. And sorry to the mail escort, who probably getting some unsolicited Bolton Wanderers correspondence from the people who spell that incorrectly. Insert ident there. I should actually thank Simon Woods, by the way, for the change, the subtle change to the Buff Podcast lyrics at the start of the show. We are going up. You liked that, Henry. You must have liked that one.
Yeah, it was nice because you told me about it. But again, just letting people have a peer behind the curtain that all the monologues you do and all the songs that we play, I don't actually get to hear them when we're recording. So I've got to wait to listen to it. But no, I did enjoy that.
Yes, just a little glimpse behind the curtain of just how disorganised this podcast. It's almost as if it's not my main job, you know.
Yeah, but I pat myself on the back. If you listen to any episode and you hear me react to something like that, I go, oh yeah, it sounds really good. I'm doing that. I have not heard it.
Right, time for the main event. Okay, we promised you that we would be breaking down the whole Bolton Wanderers squad and giving them a mark. Now, rather than, I think we did classroom type A pluses and such like the last time, but I feel like we should mix it up. And I'm going to go with the old hit, miss and maybe. Now, you're too young to remember hit, miss and maybe, but jukebox jury, but that's basically where it comes from.
Right.
I'll name the player. You give me what you think. And then I'll give you what I think. So we'll start with, from the very top, Dapo Afolayan.
Oh, since January, he's been a class above. And I think that's going to be a theme for a few of the players in this. But just a class above this division, and the fact that, especially for the last 2 months, he I'm glad the season's ended just to know his bruises that no doubt he's got on his legs can heal.
Yeah, he has been kicked from pillar to post. A great interview after the game as well, by the way. He's, I don't think him or Declan, and we'll come to in a bit, has been like 100%, oh, I'm definitely going to sign for Bolton. But you can tell there's a fondness for the place and a fondness for the dressing room that they've been in as well. So I think that's going to count really big. Dapo is going to go back to West Ham. He's going to have a chat with them, see if there's any chance probably of an extended contract there, because if there is, who wouldn't want to be in that and give themselves a chance? But I think at 23, he's got to be playing games. That's the important thing. So he's always got a home at Bolton. I think he's been a hit. What about you?
Yeah, definitely a hit. And maybe that's what Sharon Britton was talking to Mark Noble about. You never know.
Right, okay, next one. Brighton Moateng, remember him?
Vaguely, yeah. Was he at the Forest Green game or Newport? He came on for 10 minutes.
I've got a feeling he was at that Atherton Colts game that I couldn't remember as well the other day. In fact, he was at most of those games, wasn't he? In fact, he definitely was, because I think he scored for Bolton. It's nothing worse than not even being able to name a person who scored, but that was pretty much the case in all the games pre-season.
Yeah, he was. I'm glad you can finally reveal that, if you remember in the summer, a trialist who scored all these goals was Brighton Moateng.
That is true. That is true. He was one of Tobias Phoenix's boys. So, yeah, I don't even think we can say hit, miss, or maybe. Hit, miss, maybe, or none of the above. I think we've got to rank him a none of the above, really.
Yeah, and maybe, I guess, for the future, perhaps. But for this season, yeah, none of the above.
Next, the Diorite King, Alex Baptiste, Buff Player of the Year.
Yeah, we can't give him player of the year and then say miss, can we? So
no, I'm hoping to speak to him tomorrow, so I don't need that hassle at all. Alex Baptiste, a hit. Harry Brockbank next.
I'm going to say maybe for Harry Brockbank, because I felt, along with the likes of Andrew Tutt, I don't think he did much wrong. I just think that he unfortunately fell out of the team at a time where we were then winning 10 in a row or whatever we did. So, yeah, maybe for Harry Brockbank, but, he's won next year. I thought he played well in League One last time, so hopefully he can do it again.
Yeah, year older, year wiser. He does obviously suffer from that slight problem of being versatile. Alex Baptiste might be able to give him a few tips on that one, because I think that was his problem for quite a while in his career. But no, Harry has let absolutely nobody down this season. So I say hit. I disagree with you, maybe. I'm going to say hit.
Well, he gets on with Santos, so maybe that's a defensive partnership for the future.
Brandon Comley. I know where this is going.
Yeah. Yeah, he just didn't click for him, did it? He didn't work. He was one of the... I don't know whether you can call a sort of a holding midfielder a marquee signing, but he was one of the spine of the team that they brought in and we thought would do well, but it just didn't quite work for him, did it?
No, absolutely. I didn't live up to expectations at all. All those stats that we kind of reeled out last summer about his passing. And actually, he is still up there this year. If you look at the games he did play, his passing's been absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, we know... he just kept on giving away silly free kicks around the penalty box and turned into trouble all the time. So, no, unfortunately, a miss for me. Ali Crawford next on the list.
Yeah, miss. Yeah, he was our first sort of signing, wasn't he, last summer. And him and Darcy were the two that everyone wanted to keep more than anything. And apart from... you know, he got one goal and then he did a great, and I've mentioned this on a few podcasts, but I thought it was brilliant past the Sarcevic for that Mansfield goal at home, split the defence. Other than that, I thought for someone whose main attribute is corners and free kicks, I thought it was very disappointing.
Yeah. Possibly haven't found anybody to replace him on that front, though, in all fairness, but I think Ali was a disappointment. I like him as a lad. I do think he's got something to offer, and obviously he's already shown he can play at League One level, so I'm not saying it's the end of the road for him, but I just don't see where he fits in Ian Evatt's makeup at all, and he doesn't really have the attributes that I think he looks for in a player, really. Next up, Billy Crellin.
Yeah, I think we've said enough about Billy Crellin this year. Hopefully he can go back to Fleetwood and have a great career, because he seems a decent lad, but for Bolton he was definitely a miss.
Ronan Darcy.
I think a maybe for Ronan Darcy. I don't think he did anything wrong, but I think Ronan Darcy unfortunately falls into the category of players who probably played more last year than what they would have done normally. So you kind of think that he's been dropped, whereas actually he's probably at a stage of his career that he would have been anyway, where he's sort of on the fringes of the first team, if you know what I mean. So maybe for me.
Yeah, I think there's a co-host formerly of this parish that was seemingly doing a one-man mission to try and get Ronan Darcy back in the team at one stage. But no, I think Ronan's clearly not had as many opportunities this season, but I think he has had the opportunity of finding out where he can pitch himself in Evatt's team. So I don't think it's the end of the road by any stretch for him. I think he's got a chance to develop further now and come back and play in League One. I think he could make more of an impact next season. Ryan Delaney, difficult one.
Yeah, it is. Because as you said before, I thought he did okay. I know there's another... one or two people on another Bolton Wanderers podcast.
Other Bolton Wanderers podcasts.
well, on the... on that particular non-Bolton Wanderers podcast, who said he had a very poor season, but I thought he did okay. He wasn't on the Santos and Baptiste January through May levels, but I thought he did okay. He took his goal well against Cheltenham, but it's probably just wrong time for Delaney. He just seems to be missing out at the right times for the club, but the wrong times for him. So, yeah maybe.
Yeah, he played 23 times, in fairness, so, you know, that's half a season. But whether or not he can now go and you know, push on, command a place in League One, it's going to be tough. He's got age on his side, or time on his side, so.
Yeah.
Nathan Delfonso.
Oh, yeah, I think you wrote this week about Delfonso, because I, as we know, I was a big fan of Delfonso. I thought he was getting unfair stick, but I do agree with what you said, actually. He is one of the only players that actually had a better first half to the season than second half. So do you think there's a... because he's had a poor second half to the season, for whatever reason, do you think there's a case that he might not be here next year, or do you fully expect him to be? Because he was giant second top goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean, he's scored 8 goals. He's scored 8 goals. And I think that's probably the minimum he probably would have expected of himself. I mean, I don't think anybody needs to tell Nathan that he's not had a good second half of the season. I think he'll know that full well, that it didn't quite happen for him. I always thought he was better playing on the left-hand side than he was playing when he drifts into the middle. Whether he's got a pedigree. He's got a pedigree. He can score goals in League One. There's no reason why he shouldn't be kept around. But it very much depends on what else might be available. Can you level up? Can you level up across the board? I think whilst everybody's going to have rose-tinted specs about this squad, Ian Everett's got to be a bit ruthless this summer, and he's got to make decisions. He needs extra quality if they're going to be doing the same in League One. You can't expect just momentum to push you through. So I think there may be difficult choices. You know, Nathan maybe is one of them.
Yeah, I guess that is that's a good point, actually, that there's a lot of players who, you know, there's probably a lot of players that we're going to mention on this list that you'd say have been hits for what we expected of them. However, they might be let go because they might not suit League One.
Yeah. One man who I don't think falls into that category, Owen Doyle.
Yeah, Owen Doyle. Definitely a hit. He probably could have scored a lot more goals. You look at Mullin's getting 32. I think the fact that Doyle's got 19 in a side that have been not struggling to create chances, but there was a section of a season where we were. And the fact that he scored 19 is a credit to him. So he would probably look and go, actually, I could have got 25 this year. But we brought him in to score goals, and effectively he scored the goals that have got us promoted. So definite hit.
Yeah, I think behind the scenes as well, been a massive influence. I think he's raised the bar in a lot of different ways that maybe people haven't seen out on the pitch. But yeah, I think Doyle has been terrific. Definite hit for me. Zach Elbazedi.
He's going to go down as a maybe. I think there's something there. I mean, his pace is frightening. And I would have liked us to have utilised that a bit more. Maybe if he'd have had a few chances against Leighton Orient, didn't he, at home? But if he'd have took them, then maybe it'd be a different story and he could have got a few more.
Definitely one of the quicker players I've seen in recent years. Unbelievable. But yeah, I'd say bordering on the maybe to miss, but a friend of Keith Andrews. I saw him chatting to Keith Andrews the other day.
Yeah, I saw that on Sky. Yeah, maybe he's just after a new suit.
Probably. he is the man. He is the tailor to the stars, Keith Andrews. Matt Jilks.
Oh, definite hit. He saved our season, and I will not have a bad word said about him.
No, absolutely. I think he's going to go down as one of the more popular keepers of recent years. Definite hit. The King, Arthur Ganua.
I'm going to give Arthur Ganua... This is a tough one for me because I think the majority of people would say a maybe because he's shown glimpses, but not enough. But not to demean him, I didn't really expect much from him. So he's actually exceeded my expectations. So I'm going to give him a hit.
I'm with you. I think when they signed a player who's kind of principal footballer, come from Macclesfield Town, and Tobias was still in the building, I was thinking, "Hey, up! This is not going to end well at all." But I think to Arthur's credit, he made an impact of some description, not necessarily a consistent one. You know, I think towards the end of the season, it was running dry a little bit, but no, I thought, you know, he had some magical moments, and more magical moments than I thought he had any chance of getting as well. So he's been probably a hit for me as well. Liam Gordon, Flash.
Yeah, Flash, and you'll miss him, and which we did, actually. We didn't see much of him. He's a miss. As you've said, he's got time on his side. Hopefully he can come and make an impact. But yeah, for us this season, he needed probably to come into a settled side rather than coming into a side that was everything was up in the air and you're all still learning how to play with each other and stuff. So you never know. Maybe coming back in next season could be something for him. But no, definitely a miss this year.
Yeah, I think that development squad is going to be big for him because it'd be nice to see what he can do at that kind of secondary level and give himself a bit of time to improve physically and get that kind of positional sense that he was missing last season. So, miss, but more to come, I think. Rhys Greenwich, interesting one.
Yeah, I think when you look at the season as a whole, he's a miss. He was talked up to be as fast as Ricardo Gardner and Rio Miachi, but we just didn't see anything from him. One game against Cheltenham is all we saw from him. Yeah, just miss.
Just miss. He's got a year left, though. That's the interesting thing with Reece. He falls into that category we were talking about earlier about players that, you know, may benefit from playing at that second level, but I don't see him working his way in. If Delaney is a maybe for next season, then Reece Greenwich is a less than maybe for in my eyes. Young Mitchell Henry, quick mention for him. He came on 17 minutes of football. It'd be nice to see more of him later on.
Yeah, and just like when we had James Henry playing for us, it encourages positive headlines with my name on it if he does well. So I hope that he does well and gets into the team, scores lots of goals, and then I can cut them out and stick them on my wall like I'm 8 again.
I was just going to say, would you get a shirt with Henry on the back?
I would, actually. I was very tempted as a kid to get an Arsenal shirt with Thierry Henry on the back. And I was that... And this is probably the saddest thing that I have ever done, and I don't mind sharing it, that when I used to play Championship Manager, Football Manager, back when Henry was playing for Arsenal, I used to create myself an editor and stick me up front for Arsenal just so on the tactics board it would say Henry Hewitt up front. So, yeah, I am that sad that I would buy a Bolton shirt with Mitchell Henry's name on it.
So anyway, if you fancy being the co-host of The Buff next season, please get in touch. Right, Jack Hickman.
He's a miss, isn't he? I don't know quite what's happened there, because he showed glimpses at the start of the season that he would actually be he's arguably one of the best crossers of the ball in the squad and of what I've seen of him. It's a shame, really, for Jack Hickman. Did you see that he could have been a hit this year?
I think had they got that reserve team, I think you probably would have been inclined to give him... He wouldn't have gone straight in the team. I think that's the big thing. Because of the salary cap and because of the way that... the recruitment, with hindsight, was poor last summer. So Hickman should not have been near the first team. He should have been a development squad player. And they, you know, you can ask, why didn't they have a development squad? Well, obviously they took that choice as well. But yes, if Hickman had come in and worked his way up, I think he probably would have seen a better outcome. But I just think he got lumped in there. There were a couple of all right performances there, and I think a few people have said about his crossing. I'm not sure it was necessarily as good as some people have made out, but I think he's got good attitude. He was keen to reinvent himself and get his career going. And by all accounts, you know, he playing at non-league football will do him good. Just let him get out there and get games. I think he needs that. So I think it's worked out for him. It's given him a platform to get back into things. Because after Coventry, he was struggling to get anywhere because of what had happened. I'm just glad that he's shown himself to be, you know, worthy of a football career. And good luck to the lad. Lloyd Isgrove, sign in your sock.
Yeah, just for signing him a sock. And because he scored against Crawley, it means that I won't be putting him in the wash. I will keep them. Yeah, no, he's been a hit. I think there was a period around February, March time where Ian Everett would kind of change the three behind Doyle. I think Ian Everett said at the time, actually, that Lloyd was getting a bit frustrated with that and he had to have a chat with him. But I think since then, he's been one of our better performers. I think he's... His attitude's great. He tracks back. He doesn't give any defender a minute's peace. I think his delivery in the box could be a bit better, and I'm sure we'd all agree with that. But I think he scored three goals. Well, two and a half if the one against Harrogate is... We don't know whether that's his or Lee's, but I think, he's been great. So I'm going to give him he's a hit, and I'm looking forward to next season, see how he progresses.
Yeah, hit for me. He's been... best player for the last 4 or 5 weeks, probably, for me. Really has come good when Bolton really, really needed him. Ben Jackson, he'll always have a special place in my heart.
Yeah, mine too. I'm going to say a hit, but he just didn't have a chance, did he? But I don't think he did. He played well against Markham, got his goal. I don't think he did that bad in the games earlier in the season. I think the Tranmere one, I don't think the first half in that one at Prenton Park, I don't think anyone really did that well. So I'm going to say a hit, but just based on one game.
But the reason that he didn't get as many games is Declan John.
Definitely a hit. I hope he stays. Yeah, he's a player that's too good for League Two. Hopefully he can he wants to progress with us and can join us in League One.
Brilliant Welsh voice as well. I could interview him all day long. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, Declan, if you're listening, mate, you know it makes sense. Sign on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gethin Jones, unsung hero.
Yeah, he's been a hit. He's just got a... I think sometimes players, they just suit and they just fit. And, you know, he's been a... I don't want to say a journeyman, but do you know what? He's been around. And he was another one where last season when we signed him, you looked and thought, well, it's hardly the most inspiring signing coming from... I think he was coming from Carlisle, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
On a free transfer, one-year contract, but he's deserved his new contract, and yeah, he's been great.
Yeah, Gethin's just one of those Bolton Wanderers fans like a trier, you know, somebody that gives absolutely everything. I think Gethin comes across as one of those players where, yes, there are limitations in terms of his attacking. I think there's certain areas he can improve on, but you very rarely get beat for effort on Gethin, and I think that will make him a popular player. Peter Chioso, remember him?
Yeah, he was a hit, and I was disappointed to see him leave, but he didn't end up. He didn't end up being the worst thing. We got a replacement, and they played very well. So I think Peter Chioso actually shone in a poor team at the start of the year. There were doubts about his defending, but going forward, he was brilliant. I don't know how he's done against Northampton, but I know he scored a few goals for them, so he's got that in his locker. So you never know. Maybe we might be seeing him again in the summer.
It'd be interesting. It'd be very, very interesting. Would you have him back? I mean, I don't know whether or not I could see a way of him usurping somebody like Gethin or even Harry Brockbank necessarily in the team.
I would, if the option was there. If he came in, I wouldn't be upset. But, if he didn't, then I wouldn't be either. I mean, he went to Northampton and he got relegated. So it's not as if he's gone further on and shown how good, you know, that he's this amazing player. He's very good, but maybe at League One level, not as good as what we could possibly get.
Kieran Lee, certainly a signing and a half in January.
Yeah, I think it's funny how Sheffield Wednesday released him because he was injury prone. He's then played... How many games has he played for us? Must be 20, surely.
Started 22 subs appearances, yeah.
Yeah, he's got... And now we're playing him next season. So, good on Kieran Lee. He showed us everything that we'd hoped for him and more because we didn't think we'd get this many games out of him. So, he's definitely a hit.
Finlay Lockett.
First team is no, because he's not played any games really, but going off what he's done in the 18s, he's a hit. I'm looking at, hopefully he can get past this injury and we can see him in the first team.
MJ Williams, now I got a bit of stick for only giving him 7.5 out of 10 in my season ratings. Do you think he was worth the extra 0.5?
Probably, yeah, but I think the thing with MJ Williams is that he's a consistent 7.5. You know, you'll get players who are nines and eights, but then we'll have a few games where they're sixes and fives, whereas MJ Williams has been Mr. Consistent, really. So he's a consistent 7.5. So I think, yeah, going off the buzz from promotion, I would say you are a bit harsh not to give him an 8, but he is Mr. 7.5, he's Mr. Reliable. So I can see where you went with that one.
Marcus Madison. 10 appearances, 4 starts.
Yeah, well, it's going to have to go down as a miss, but, you know...
There were reasons for it, weren't there,
yeah? Yeah, he's at the wrong time for him. Probably at the wrong time for us as well, because if we were inconsistent on the pitch, then maybe he would have got more of game time and he could have made that difference, but we were winning games and... I can understand why you'd be very reluctant to change that. So, it's a miss, but good luck to him and hopefully he can revitalise his career or do something else that he's happy with.
Ole Gunnar Miller, also known as Sean.
I'm going to give him a hit. Same for Arthur Inoue, really, that I don't know what I expected from Miller.
Regan Riley. Now, I'll tell you, before you give him a hit, miss, or maybe, he doesn't play for us anymore.
Yeah, did you forget that when you did that article?
Well, I forgot to copy the sentence over that said he didn't play for us anymore. But I actually forgot him completely originally. Him and Henry. I don't know
not
why.
Me.
I do know why. It's because I didn't do the stats and somebody else didn't include the name. But then I checked them and they weren't there. But anyway, somebody reminded me that Regan Riley and Henry was there. So then I copied across the stuff I'd written about them and then forgotten the sentence that said anything about Norwich. So basically not having a great morning, really.
I'm going to put him down as a hit because he's made us, what, a quarter of a million, was it? So yeah, he's the big, definite hit.
Yeah, I've hits all day long. If you want to give us a quarter of a mil, no worries whatsoever. I mean, everybody likes to see these players come on and start, you know, blooming like a Thomason or whatever. But no, I mean, for a player that may or may not have a career, we don't really know yet. That's quite a nice little tidy fee, and they sell ons as well. One player whose value has skyrocketed, Ricardo Santos.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a miss. No.
Yeah, let's do it.
he's a hit. He didn't start slow. He just started, I think he was just adjusting. And then when he adjusted, then boy, did he adjust. So, yeah, hit. Should have been in the team of the season for the league. And I think, you know, seeing Tony Cliff in the flesh at the weekend, I still think that he should have made team of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Santos is one of those players that needs that experienced arm around him. I think until Baptiste and Jilks really got hold of him, I don't think he was playing as well. I know he kind of did improve slightly before Christmas, but I think once those two were in the team and really pulling his strings, I think he's come on leaps and bounds, and hopefully now he can take that on and he won't necessarily need that. He can be the person that's leading on from the front. I do think he's got a real chance. But Anthony Sarcevic, Captain Fantastic.
Yeah, he's a hit. He was a hit for me all season. I think he's he's another player who has been, like you said with Doyle, just someone who's so vital behind the scenes because he's done it before. He's got this is his fourth promotion from League Two. I think he can do it in League One as well. And yeah, he's a definite hit.
Yeah, 100%. Although I might have to downgrade that in edit if he doesn't text me back and say he's going to do an interview with me tomorrow. Adam Senior. Now, it's one of the great, great shames, I think, that nobody was there to see Scenes score that goal at Shrewsbury because it would have been Scenes, really.
It would, yeah. Senior's a maybe because I thought he did well against Shrewsbury. I think there's a player there for us. We had this chat off air the other day, and whereas, say, we brought Bancard Darcy, you think that if they do well, they could move on and go. Mm. I think Senior could be as good as Maldini or Van Dijk, but he'd still want to just stay at Bolton. So I'm gonna give him a hit just because his smile lights. Whenever I see his smile, it makes me smile. And he's one game, one goal. That's a good ratio.
That's Omri-esque.
Yeah.
George Taft, remember him?
Yeah, he's a miss. He's probably, him and Conley are the high profile misses for me, sadly. But he's gone to Scunthorpe. He started well, but I don't know how he's done since. But I know how Scunthorpe have done. And another week on the season, they could be playing in the non-league next year. So
yeah, I think he got an injury, in all fairness to Tafty. But nice lad, really nice lad. I think he's better than he showed at Bolton, but didn't happen for him, did it? And I absolutely love the fact I am not going to Scunthorpe next season. Absolutely love it. That is one of my all-time loathed away games.
If you had to do a top three places that you're thankful not to be visiting next season, where would they be? Would Grimsby be in it as well?
Grimsby would be top of the list. Scunthorpe would be a very close second. And then probably Stevenage. Probably Stevenage. Yeah. It was awful. George Thomason.
Oh, he's a hit. He's fastly becoming one of my, if not my favourite player for Bolton. He's been brilliant and he's very raw in how he plays. He's good to watch and I'm looking forward to see how he progresses next year.
Yeah, 18 starts. I mean, it does feel like he's been in for longer than that. It seems like he's had like a full-on journey in front of our eyes this season, but actually he's only played half a season.
No, yeah, because his debut was against that 6-3 against Port Vale. So he didn't start very well, but it's ended very well. He's got a good head on his shoulders as well. Great hair as well. Great mop on his head.
He's got a good head on his shoulders, but we can't see too much of it, if we're honest. Andy Tutt.
For Andy Tutt, I think I'm going to give him a hit just because, again, I didn't really expect much from him coming from Markham. And I thought he did okay. I thought he did well. And if it wasn't for Lee and Williams playing so well, then maybe he would have played a lot more. I think he was very unlucky the second half of the season that there was just no way in for him. So based on what I expected, a hit. But I guess you're probably going to have to give him a maybe because, and I'll be honest, I don't really see him being back next year personally. I think, but I think he's done enough for another League Two side to snap him up.
They definitely do a job at that level, didn't they? I think potentially slightly less mobile than the other two that we mentioned there. But no, it didn't do too badly. And finally, another man who has been debated on this podcast plentifully this season, Tom White.
Well, the fact that he didn't end the season when he was meant to, I'm going to definitely give him a miss. That penalty against Shrewsbury was enough to give him a miss. He's the same as Crellin. Hopefully they'll have good careers, but it just didn't work for him.
That is all we've got time for this week. This is actually been a long one. I suspect in edit we may have to take the scissors to this. Despite being completely unstructured, I think we've done all right, Henry.
We have, yeah. The stuff you were saying halfway through,
that's the sort of stuff that's going to get edited out. Yeah, my solicitor will definitely want that sort of stuff edited out. To answer a question that we got before, we are going to carry on with some buffs in our normal style at the moment, but I think we are going to be bringing some of the interviews back. I've got a couple already backed up and ready to go. We're going to be bringing some Golden Games as well. So if there's anything that you'd like to see us cover, any Golden Games, any faces from the past you'd like us to revive in buff format, then please get in touch with the email address that we got earlier in the show. But until then, I have been Mark Isles.
And I have been Henry Hewitt.
Farewell for today. Ricardo Vaztey.